be seated. So we've got a big banner here on the side. It says, Giving Life to Living. And we're going to set that banner out in the front after this series. But that happens to be the name of our series right now. We're just wrapping it up. This is our last Sunday. And we've been going through the book of 1 John in the Bible. And we're at the very end of chapter 5. And so the Apostle John is wrapping things up and telling us some things. And this morning specifically, he's telling us some things that we can know for sure. Things that we can know. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I've got a tennis ball up here that's going to help me out with that. But maybe. Kevin's waving for it. I'm going to read this passage, and I want to invite you to kind of engage with me a little bit and help read along. I want to ask you to read the whole thing with me. We can throw it up there. But there are, again and again, at first I looked at this series, at this passage, and I went, these are just a bunch of random things that he's ending up with, and to some degree. But there's a consistent theme here in these final verses of this chapter. And it revolves around the words, we know, or I know, or confidence. And you'll see it come up again and again. So if you're bold enough to say the words with me when I get to them, I want to invite you to say out loud, we know. Should we practice? Can you say with me, we know? Okay. So when I get to the spot, you'll just say that with me. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and that he has given us understanding, so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Thanks, that was really well done. Great participation. Now I'm going to ask a couple of you to come up here in a moment. David, would you come up? He looks at me with these eyes. David's our new intern this year in youth ministry, so this is an opportunity just to introduce him. Give him a hand. He's going to be helping us out. Come on up here for a moment. And let's see, I was looking for one of my kids, but I think they're both out in kids' life. Somebody from my life group. Let's see. Ron. Can you come up here, Ron? I'm looking for somebody who knows. Somebody who knows my wife and I a little bit. And Ron does. He knows us. We're getting to know each other in life group together. So for that reason, I've got something to ask Ron. Well, I've got... just this isn't going to be hard, but I've got a roll of tape here. And I'm going to give that to you. That's tape that we use to wrap things up here, and you know, when we set things up and everything. It's a wrap. Okay. Ron, if I ask you to hold that tape and let go of it, this is going to be incredibly obvious, but right. What's going to happen?
It'll fall.
Yeah. Do you know that for sure?
I do for sure.
You know it'll happen.
I absolutely know that.
How do you know that?
You told me.
Because I told you. I like that. So whatever I tell you this morning, you just go on that. Take it to the bank. Okay. Now, you might have had some experience with it before.
Absolutely.
Okay. Could you just demonstrate that for us? You'll just let it go.
Okay. Here it goes. You ready?
Okay. Wow. Okay. Give Ron a hand. That was really well done. Now, that was easy. I'm coming up to something a little harder next, but you can hand the mic to David. And David... I'm going to ask you to hold this tennis ball, okay? And if you were to take it and just, you know, look out in the yonder there, and if you were to just take and do this kind of action with it, and let go of it at this point right here, not at this point, right there, but if you were to kind of take a step into it and do it, what would happen with that ball?
It would go that way.
It would go that way. Okay. And after it goes that way, what would happen?
Fall.
It would fall? Okay. Is there anything in the ball that would make it do anything or that you could predict would happen with it? It's a tennis ball?
It's a tennis ball.
It'll probably bounce, eh?
Probably.
Okay. Might it hit somebody when it bounces?
I hope not.
Maybe. Can you try it? Can you do it for us?
Sure.
Just give it a... Whoa! You almost hit the sound guys back there. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Give him a hand. That was awesome. Ron's going to stay up here for one more question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this has a question regarding more of the kind of the aspect of knowing someone. Okay, there's a couple of things that Dave said, we know, and you said with the tape, we know, and now I'm going to ask you. Now, my wife and I are in life group together with you, so you know a little bit about us and stuff like that. We've got our anniversary coming up,
yep.
And I know you guys just celebrated yours. Was it down in San Diego,
yep,
or something? Yeah. We're thinking of going to Whistler. Okay, and I'm just thinking about two different plans that I could kind of, you know, go, and I'm just asking you what you might know about Suzanne or about, okay, and this might put you a little bit on the spot, but I think there's something. Now, two plans that I'm thinking of for our anniversary day. One is, and both really, you know, get me excited, but the one is to go skydiving.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you go skydiving on the other side of a mountain range. We've got some mountain bikes there. Then we could mountain bike over the pass, okay,
brilliant,
do some single track downhill, get to the bottom, and, you know, we'd be exhausted by the time we got to the bottom. Go up for a restaurant, eat some steak,
nice,
and then maybe watch a documentary in the evening.
Good.
So that's one plan. The other plan would be to, you know, get up in a leisurely way in the morning, go out for breakfast, go shopping in Whistler, sip some Starbucks, take the gondola up to the top of Whistler, have a picnic lunch, maybe some sushi, and then come down, and I've heard about a spa there that I think a few people have been at, and go to the spa, wear the outfit out to a meal in the evening, candlelit meal, and so I'm working through these two plans.
Yeah.
So there's the skydiving and the mountain biking, and then there's the the spa and the shop and the little hike around the top of Whistler. What do you think? What do you know about Suzanne? They're already choosing it for you. Would you choose door number one?
Well, you know, the first thing I would ask is, who do you plan to take?
Well,
that would be Suzanne, right?
That would be Suzanne.
Okay, so knowing Suzanne, I would probably take the second one.
Okay.
And a little bit for you, too, because I know you're kind of a spa guy.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. You can go now. Okay. Thanks, Ron. I think I picked the right guy to interact with there. No question. Ron knows my wife, and the first plan might have been what he knows about me. The second one is what he knows about both of us, actually, and good choice. You know, there's things that we know, we can empirically prove and say this is what we know, and then there's some things that we know because we know a person. And I think when John is writing this letter, he's actually talking about both. And he is entering into the realm of faith and things of the spiritual nature, things that are a little more unseen. But as he closes this letter, he wants some things to go deep into our hearts that we can know. You can call that trust. You can call that faith. You can just say, I know because I know. And he's wanting to wrap this letter up, having written a whole bunch of things. And the passage actually starts with, I have written these things to you. So he's wrapping up this thing, and he's saying, now at the end of the day, I want you to know a few things. It's almost like, you know, you've been sitting in class, and now it's the exam time. We won't put you through an exam this morning. He's not doing that with these guys, but he's going, there's some things that you would know. And not just to write down on an exam, but actually apply to your life that you would know this, because it makes a huge difference in your life. I want you to know it because it is true. It is absolutely true. He's making some truth statements here. And I want you to know this because I know that it is, because I know the person of Jesus. John's actually speaking from experience. He actually walked and talked and lived as a disciple of Jesus. And now he's ending with these statements of knowledge. And I think, you know, for all of us, to live in this realm of faith, if you choose to step into this faith journey with Jesus, he wants us to live confidently. He wants us to have a confident kind of a way about us that we say, you know, I believe that by faith, and to some degree we just take it at its word. I like what Ron said, because you told me so. But and there is some things in which we come to Jesus and say, because you told me, Jesus, I know that. But the more that we are in a relationship with Jesus, the more we will know that. You know, in some of our journeys, and you know, all of us at times, you know, we go from being like a baby person in faith, and we go to times when we just like we're mature, and we just go, I know that. You know, when I look at a small child, you know, I even think of Kevin with Mael up here and stuff. There's this wonderful experimental stage that kids go through, where you're watching them and they're taking things. Well, hopefully we don't put too much tape or, you know, but we put a ball in their hands and they're figuring out, okay, if I drop it, what's going to happen? If I throw it, if I, you know, poke Johnny in the eye, well, you know, they get to know what will happen by trial and error, and they get to know by experience. And John is encouraging us in that same way to step into this realm of faith, take some risks, try some things out, and you'll get to know that you can take it to the bank, that God is this way. And so there's four things here that he makes some confident statements about, some knowledge claims, really. And I know there's people who say, you know, in the realm of faith, or even, I mean, it can get so philosophical and weird out there, right? That people go, you can't know anything for sure. How's that to live, really? I mean, when it comes to faith, if you're living in that kind of philosophical world, I don't really know kind of thing, God says, you know what, there are some things that you can see. It's how I've hardwired the universe. And there are some things that you can know about me because I have made this universe and I operate within it. And so John starts off by saying, you can know, verse 13, I've written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. He starts off with, what have I written? I guess you have to backtrack, and you've been sitting here for a number of weeks hearing the messages on this, but we've talked about a God who loves us. John's saying, he loves you, and for that reason, he will hold you securely for eternity. We've talked about life, and John said, this is where life is found. It's in his Son, Jesus. And so we can know that we can have that eternal life right now. And when we cross over into the life after this life, we can know that that life will continue, that we will be forever with God in heaven. Now, I know a lot of people have a lot of different experiences and speculation about what happens beyond this life. John wants us to take it to the bank when Jesus says, I will be with you, that you will be with me forever. That as he said to the thief on the cross who believed in him, it was a gift given to the thief on the cross, not something that thief had done. It was a gift. That we can have this gift of eternal life and know that we will spend eternity with him in heaven. You know, the fear of death is an incredibly rattling thing to a lot of people, all of us. And at times, you know, in our humanity, we get there. I know what that's like. I think we all do at times. And as we look even at our mortality and we look at what might come, what John wants us to grow in is just this deep-seated confidence that, you know what, after this life, God is going to take us to heaven with him forever. And it's not based upon what we do. It's not based upon earning it. It's based upon believing in him. Another one of the themes that has come through again and again and throughout the book is John says, I want you to believe him. I've written these things so that you may believe, that you may know. And so he's going down that theme. And I think it's wonderful. And I've known many people who have grown in this faith. And as their lives have continued and they've come towards the end of their lives and they know that it's imminent, and the Bible talks about how all of our bodies are tents and ultimately our tent is taken down. It's something that wasn't meant to be permanent. Not after the fall. And these people are at that point and they're saying, oh, I just can't wait to get there. Like, let me out of this body. I'm done. Apostle Paul talked about that. He said, for me to live is Christ. And so we hold on to this life. It's valuable. It's important. We hold on to it, but we also know, and to die is gain, that we actually get eternal life. And so I want to ask you this morning on that continuum of, you know, I have no confidence at all and where I spend eternity on that spectrum to, I know exactly what God, by his power and his strength, is going to do with me after this life. John's saying, I want you to live over here. I want you to grow from over there. And there may be times where doubts come in, and you work through them, and then you you develop more and more, and you try it out. You say, God, I want to know this. Maybe it's even that prayer, God, I want you, because it is all about what God does in our hearts. I want you to affirm that in my heart. And maybe really what gets us there is him affirming us of his love, him affirming us of his forgiveness, that nothing separates us from him. Maybe it's us being affirmed again that this is where life is found. And so we live in that life now. John's really talking about an extension of this life going into the next. So he says, I want you to know about eternal life. And know that now, know that in that imminent time when at death's door as well. I want you to know and have confidence of that. I think there's sometimes people think, you know, I can't be that arrogant. It's not arrogance to stand over here on this end of the spectrum. If you know that it isn't about you, it's about what he's done for you. You know, I think of my great-great-grandfather has a diary that's actually been bound. I've mentioned that before. But in it, and he actually happened to be a pastor in his community. This is back in the old country. But he talked in there about not being sure about what would happen after his death. And I was thinking, I wish he could know that. I wish he didn't think that it was about him. And that's a common thing for all of us, isn't it? We get to that thing where we think it's about us and whether we did enough or whether... But no, it's all about what Jesus has done for us. You can know you have eternal life. John wants us to know that. He wants us to live confidently in that. And then he goes on to another statement in the next verse. He says, and we are confident, verse 14 to 17, that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Now, there's a few things in there that John's trying to come clear with. He talks about God hearing us and having that confidence, knowing about prayer. He's also talking about that he will give us what we ask for. And then he also says, and we are confident that whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's kind of like the fine print, isn't it? You know, sometimes we come toward God, and I know I do this, and I approach him like he's kind of that cosmic, you know, candy vendor in the sky kind of thing. God, I just want you to give me this now. It's what I please. It's what I want. And wouldn't that be awesome? And for a moment you think, yeah, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? If he gave me... But think about how that would impact this world. You know, if we just, every one of us got what we wanted, think about what it might do even to our spirits and to us. Think about our own self-centeredness and how that might impact things. And what God is saying, and it's really for our own good, maybe he's calling right now. What he's really saying to us is you can come to that place where your will and my will are in alignment, where you actually understand what pleases God. And that there's actually even a great adventure in that, that it's really worthwhile to find out what pleases him, to find out what pleases God. Ultimately, if we know that God is good, and John tells us again and again, God's good, that God is love, that what will please him will be what was ultimately the most loving thing for us and the most loving thing for those around us. And there is a journey in this. There is a journey even of prayer. And I think one of the first prayers that we can say to God, and it's really at the when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. So God, one of my first prayers is, God, I want to know what pleases you. And we might be in that situation where we go, I'm not sure what's the best thing in this situation. What will please you the best? And maybe it seems like a no-brainer at first. I mean, there are things that we can just, we don't have to spend a lot of time wondering whether Jesus wants a person to come into faith. We need to wonder about whether it pleases God. He wants us to have joy, faith, love. Oh, the fruits of the Spirit, those are great prayers. God, I just need your patience right now as I'm parenting. Whatever it might be, God says, I want to give that to you. And when you're asking for the fruits of the Spirit, you can just go, I know that he will give that to me. And we can step out of prayer in confidence and go, I can take that to the bank. God is going to do that for me. That pleases him when his will is done, when we are living within the kingdom. And then there are those things that we just go, you know what, God, I'm facing this decision. What pleases you? These might be issues of friendship. It might be marriage situations. It might be getting married to who. It might be job situations. And God says, I will begin to reveal to you what pleases me most. And then you can pray with confidence. And there are times in prayer where you begin to grow in faith and grow in prayer where you go, I just know God's going to do that. And it is an exciting journey to see that he is hearing and he answers us. And there's something that builds upon faith, faith upon faith, and it grows in our lives. And John says, I want you to grow in that. And we might feel sometimes like we're an infant, like we're just a child and coming into this journey. John says, enter into it. Start talking to God about everything. Talk to him about it. Ask for stuff. Start asking. And in the process of asking, I think one of the things that we do too quickly is we make a quick request. We spend a moment and then we just move on. And John's saying, I want you to keep coming. There's all sorts of stories and parables about the person who just kept coming back and kept asking. And when we do that, our faith grows. That sense of, I know that God's listening. I know that he hears me. I know that he's answering. And we begin to see the results as well. Many of you know all about that. You've seen that. Are you living with confidence? Here's another question. Are you living with confidence in the area of prayer? John says, I want you to grow in that. Try it out. Start exercising that prayer and muscle and start finding out that as you align your will with him, he hears, he answers. He will do amazing things. And then he goes on the next verses and he says, verse 18 and 19, he says, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. John has an ongoing theme about good and evil. And he's really calling it what it is. Now, there are some people who say, you know what, you can't really know for sure what's right and for wrong. It's all kind of relative in different situations. And certainly there are times when we look at things and we go, is this the right thing or is this wrong? But John is here encouraging people. And he's encouraging us to look at things for what they are and say, is that right or is that wrong? Is that loving or is that unloving? Is that evil or is that good? And I think what he's saying here is a person who becomes a child of God starts getting, even in prayer, in tune with God's heart more and more. And you start to be able to recognize things. And you go, oh, that's not good. And he's specifically talking about analyzing ourselves and saying, I know that's not right. I want to change that because I want to do what puts a smile on God's face. And he starts to, as our will gets lined up with his. And I'm not saying that that's easy because there's this self-will within all of us. It's in us. It's in me. It's this thing like, I want my will. I want to do what I want. And there's a bit of a battle. And we know about that. But as we go, you know what, God, ultimately, okay, I surrender. I give it to you. We go, okay, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to keep sinning. I don't want to make a practice of it. John's just kind of making a statement, and he says that it kind of follows. As you know eternal life, as that life comes into your life, you're praying and you're asking for what pleases God, you're going to become more and more that person who goes, oh, no, I can see that. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to step away from that. That might be in the area of selfishness, jealousy, lust, greed, an uncaringness for justice. There's so many things that can be listed here, but the great thing is that God will start pointing it out in our lives. He'll start going, you know, that path, what you're doing there is actually habitual, and then what he invites us to do is to come to him, to call it what it is, call it evil, and say, I'm going to stop that. And by your power and strength, I will do that. It's really that simple. It may not be easy, but it's that simple. And it's coming to that place of just saying, God, I'm turning away from it. The Bible talks about it in the word repentance all the time. He says, I want you to turn away from what you're doing and do what I want. And ultimately, what I want is best for you. And like I said last week, his commands aren't burdensome. That's what John just finished saying. a few verses earlier. It's not burdensome. It's actually the way of life. He says, I want to give life to living. And really, it starts with that confident belief that what is sin and what is wrong is going to lead to death, and what is right is going to lead to life. And so, God, I want to live in what is life. God's true children do not continue to sin. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfectionism here, that we never sin. Reality is, it's coming to terms inside of us and going, I have sinned, I do sin, I will sin. But it's the difference is that habitual, willful, I'm practicing that. God's pointing it out in my life, and I'm still doing it. When we're in relationship with God, God will start putting his finger on something in our lives and say, that's wrong. And we have a choice at that point to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or to just go, you know what, I'm just going to blow it off. John's talking about that kind of attitude that just blows it off. Says, you know what, but we miss out on so much. One is even in our prayers. I think sometimes we go, God, I just feel out of touch with you. My prayers don't seem to be getting through. John says, well, if you're practicing sinning and you're disregarding me, there's a barrier there. And that stops our prayers from being heard, being answered. So coming into God's will, aligning ourselves with it, John's saying that's the pattern towards life. That's where you find life. God points out a sin. We agree with him. We don't ignore it. We turn. We turn to him. Now, I recognize, too, that on that scale, there's some people with an overactive conscience on this end, and there's that sense where our consciences have been hardened. And John's talking about that place where we start to live in that hardened conscience kind of place. He says, I don't want you to live there. He says, that's not where a child of God lives. It's ultimately coming to that place where we go, you know what, I want to live in God's house, and God's in charge. And so as I live under the house rules with God, I know that's the best way to live. John's encouraging us. He's saying, know life. Turn from it. And then he finishes with the last confidence statement. In verse 20 and 21, he says, we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. When we started the first Sunday of this series, we talked about fellowship, what it means. Fellowship is coming into that close relationship with God. And John is appealing to that again. At the end of the day, he's saying, you know what? It's about a relationship. The most important thing is a personal relationship with Jesus. And he says, as you know that, you will know the true God. Jesus made that claim. It's not us. There's nothing narrow-minded about it. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, you know what? There's going to be other gods that are going to try and take place in your heart. That's his last words to us. And I love John's kind of pastoral sort of shepherding way about him. He's just, dear children, he says, keep from anything that might take God's place in your heart. It's like an appeal. It's not heavy-handed. It's just like, you know that when something else enters the center of your heart, when that becomes the most important thing, he says, you're missing out. You're missing out on life. And so he says, keep away from anything that might take God's place. He says, there is the true God. And I think, you know, for all of us, we recognize that our hearts go after other gods. It moves away from that relationship. And so this morning, as we close, I just want to invite in your heart this morning to pray with confidence and say, God, I just want to put my heart in tune with your heart this morning again. I know how a child of God lives. You're pointing that out in my life. It's that relationship. I get that sense. You're speaking to my life. I can see it in the Bible, too. I just want to line it up again. And God, I just want to thank you that you keep me securely, that I can know this eternal life, and that at the end of this life, based on your gift to me, I will spend eternity with you as well. John's saying you can know these things. It's not wistful or wishful thinking. It's not wandering around, kind of finding a better option. He says, I want you to know you found the true God. This is the place of confidence. In a sense, you've arrived at a destination, but you're always growing. And he's saying to us, like a child begins to learn, I know this about God. He loves me. I obey his commands because he loves me. I can pray with confidence knowing that he loves me and he's listening to me. He's actually in relationship with me. And through his son, Jesus, we have confidence that he's come to us. We're not trying to get to him. He's actually come to us. And that's what communion is about. And we want to invite you this morning to participate in communion. Communion is actually a confidence statement. It's a way of physically saying, I know. And we pick up these elements and we say, I know that this, I know what this means. I know that in his giving his life, I have life. He's given life to living. I know that his broken body means that his wholeness can come into my life and I can live whole. He can bring together my brokenness. I know that. I know that he can put it together. And whatever brokenness, whatever my sin might be, I'm taking it to God. I'm saying, put it back together, God. And I want to live in wholeness. I want to live in wholeness to you. So I want to invite you to take part in that. I've asked Kevin if he could kind of oversee this, and there's a couple others that are going to join him. And what we'll do is, and like Kevin said, it's inside of each other, so we'll have a few people up here at the front of the rows just holding these trays. Thanks, you guys. And the worship band is going to come up and lead us in a song while you take part. There is nothing to separate you from taking part in this, because even this morning, God's saying, believe, have confidence. And it's an immediate response of God out of a heart of love, saying, I forgive you. In this is found forgiveness. Come and take part in this morning. So we invite you to, as Raniel leads us in a song, if you would stand with us all, and if you would like to take part in communion, and I encourage you to do that. That's God's call to us, to respond with a yes, with a confidence, with an I know that this is true. Come and take part, and you can hold on to it, and we will take it together.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness, and humble himself, carry the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all. Broken and poured out. Jesus Messiah.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about a covenant that God's making. This is that covenant. The covenant is really dependent upon God doing this for us. And even as this morning, as I've talked about that confidence of knowing and praying and eternal life and turning from a practice of sin, even as we take communion, what God said is, I want you to keep doing this because this is the life that sustains you. You can know whatever commitment one makes in your heart this morning that he will sustain you, that he will keep giving you the strength, that he will help you on that path of new commitment. That's part of what communion is saying to us as well this morning. So Jesus said, I want you to do this until I come again. He says, I pass on what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And then he said, in the same way, he took the wine, cup of wine after supper and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. This covenant is dependent upon God and what he does in our lives. God, I just want to thank you for these words that being the true God, you are completely true and trustworthy. As we go from here this morning, we just want to thank you that you are there keeping the covenant with us, that you continue to hold us securely, that we have eternal life in you. I thank you for your forgiveness, God. I thank you for pointing out to us where it is, where we are broken and need healing and wholeness. And I thank you that you help us. You give us the strength. You are there to hold us securely. And I just thank you, God, that we can come again and remember again that you are the true God and put you in the true place in the middle of our lives and our hearts. And that we can know life. That we can know life. I thank you for giving this life to us. May we just walk in that. I thank you that we can just live in joyful thankfulness for that this week. I thank you that you fill our hearts and that we can be filled with joy and celebration, knowing that it's all about you, God. In your name, amen. If you have a basket, we always take an offering for community care, for caring for the needs in our community. And so if you'd like to give for that, you can. And we'll just pass that and have a very good week.